You will open in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Should look familiar to you. This is our third week in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Would you pray with me? Father God, we do pray this morning for our daily bread. And we know that with that, there's a physical sense of the need to be fed. And also spiritually, we come to this place seeking to be filled by you, asking for your Spirit to meet us here, and our longing to know you more, and our desire to have a holy encounter with you in this place, and our admission that without you, we are nothing, and there is nowhere for us to go. And so would you meet us here? Would you open our eyes in these moments to see what it is that you want us to see, and so that you can help us to be who it is you want us to be, and so that you can help us do what it is that you want us to do. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our third week in the series on the Lord's Prayer, and it would seem that things are taming down just a little bit as we reach the middle of the prayer. This give us this day our daily bread. We've already considered the implications of praying to a God in heaven, where he sits on his very own throne and very really gets to have his own way in every way. And with that in mind, we were encouraged the very first week to enter into this prayer with crash helmets on, ready for our worlds to be turned upside down by the praying of these words. Last week, we just kept going, and then we prayed, Your kingdom come, your will be done, and realized that with that, we were actually asking God to initiate a full-out revolution in our lives and right here on the earth. These are some really big, potentially disturbing requests, because both of them have the potential to change absolutely everything as we know it. And so at first reading, the middle line of this prayer, it seems that it helps us catch our breath just a little bit. It seems that it might even invite us for a moment to take our crash helmets off. It's just a simple prayer for some bread, after all. Bread. It's a safe prayer, like those kind of prayers that we pray before meals, or for a loved one's safe travels. Bless this food to our bodies. Help so-and-so get to wherever they're going safely. And though we mean these things, even when we pray them, we already kind of expect that they're answered. We don't really think the food before us is most likely going to lead to food poisoning. And odds are that person on their journey will make it home safe because they've always made it home safe before. They're safe prayers. Kind of like, give us today our daily bread. Something that we throw up to heaven while we know that our pantries are full with white and wheat and bagels and English muffins already in them. You can have your pick. Praying for bread. It's really not all that threatening like a revolution. It's not all that disorienting like asking heaven to come to earth. This part of the prayer, it actually seems harmless. There's really nothing seemingly divisive or imposing about it. But before we write it off too fast, we might want to just watch out and be a little bit careful before we go about praying this too casually. Give us this day our daily bread. First things first, give us. It's a request. And with the request, what we're doing is we are asking God for something that we know we cannot attain on our own. To make a request of God is to admit that we have a real need. This reminds us that while our Father is in heaven, over and above all things, that we are still right here on earth. We are fragile. We are flesh. And we are people in need, even right here and even right now. With that, we are a people who are completely at God's mercy for our next breath. Every single one, a gift from Him. And so to go and admit that we need something as basic as bread from God is to say that we actually maybe don't have everything figured out. That we actually maybe don't have a handle on everything in our lives and in our world. It's to say that we know that we are vulnerable, we are dust, we are needy, and we are broken. And if anything good at all comes to us, it's not because we did a good job, but it's only because we have a Father who hears His children's humble pleas. Our Father, give us today what we need to live. And the very best we can do in light of His good care of us is simply choose to live as a people who are grateful. When you know your need, your gratitude is overwhelming. Have you ever received a gift from someone that you knew you could never earn and never repay? About a year ago, some of my friends helped me get out of the interest on my credit card by paying the amount that I owed in cash. And the amount they gave me was significant. And so each month for a while, I was setting aside this good chunk of money and mailing it back to Waco to slowly try to pay these friends back. And I had hopes of over a few years' time catching up to what they had done for me. After just 3 months of these payments, I got a card in the mail one day from my friends that simply said, "Jamie, God has blessed us in life and we really don't need your money." They said, "Please let that payment just be our gift to you and use that money that you're sending our way every month instead to do something that is self-care for you." And just like that, I was out of debt. And not because I had done anything right or because I had worked extra hard for it to earn it, but because my friends, led by a God with a generous heart, chose to love me in a really kind, over-the-top sort of way. And every single month since I got that card from them, when the payment to them would normally go out, I find myself on that day so full of gratitude. I find on that day I'm especially grateful for good friends in my life and for a good God who cared for me through them. And when I go out and use that extra money to get some gas to go check out a new hike somewhere or to buy a resource that I know is going to help me be a better pastor, I realize that this is all a gift. All of it a gift. And I'm so this, our Father, give us prayer. It reminds me of the prayers of children. Have you ever asked a child to lead a prayer before a meal? If you're really hungry, it's usually not a good idea. Because a child will often take their time praying. They don't feel any need to get on with things. It's like talking with Jesus is the most important thing. What are they thinking? They've got something that we don't. And I'll often pray by thanking God for just anything and everything that comes to mind. Dear God, thank you for my mom and my dad and for my sister and for my brothers. And thank you for my grandma and thank you for my grandpa and thank you for my cousins and thank you for my friends. And they may sit there and begin to name all their friends in their class at school. Thank you for my dog, and thank you for my cat, and thank you for my goldfish, and thank you for my toys, and here's my favorite ones, and thank you for my teacher, and thank you for water, and thank you for mountains, and thank you for the chicken, and thank you for the potatoes, and the juice, and it goes on and on and on. Yeah, we think it's really cute. And it is. But why do they do that? They do that because they're kids. And if anyone in this world is aware that they don't have anything on their own, that it's all a gift of grace, it's kids. They know that they cannot make it through a day without someone, anyone, taking care of their very basic needs. They can't even get a cup of water by themselves. They know this. So when they stop to pray, they can't help but just be overcome by gratitude. And you know the tragic thing is, we all begin to grow up. And at some point in this growing up, we somehow, I don't know how, start believing this lie that the reason those toys are in the closet and those clothes are on our backs and these friends are in our life and this food is on our tables because we did something to put that there. And to keep that there. Because we worked hard to earn these things, and we're working just as hard to hold on to them. And rather than be grateful, we begin to feel like we're entitled to them. We grow up, and in our growing up, we forget that it's all a gift. And when we can no longer see the gift in it all, so quickly we become ungrateful. And discontent and absolutely blind to the beauty of life that is happening all around us. And the even more tragic thing is that sometimes it takes our little ordered worlds being completely shaken up to make us like those grateful children around the dinner table once again. It takes something tragic, like we go to the doctor and they see something and they want us to schedule an appointment with a specialist. And that week in between, we realize all of a sudden that maybe we don't control anything. That maybe we are at God's mercy every single day. And then by God's grace, perhaps that report comes back clean. And for those next few days in our life, everything is a little bit brighter. For those next 3 days, we're just at least aware that each breath, that the love we have of our family, the beauty of our garden, that the simple things in life are joys and that they're gifts. And for at least just a few days, we can't help but be absolutely grateful. Because in those moments, we become aware once again of a God who hears the desperate cry of his children. Our Father, give us what we need to live. He heard and he gave. And we realize our living is a gift. And you know, the good news is maybe us adults don't have to have these absolutely anxious kind of experiences to bring us back to gratitude. Maybe we don't need our earths to be shattered to remember that we need God to live and that he just keeps on stepping into that need. Perhaps rather than waiting for our worlds to be shaken to get us back to humility and back to gratitude, we can actually make a practice of remembering our need every day by simply praying how Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, give us what we need to live, because we don't have a chance without you. Every breath is a gift. All of life. A gift. And when we believe that, when we really believe that, we can't help but begin to notice the gifts in life each and every day. They're all around us, overwhelming. And in realizing them, we cannot help but be a people who are grateful. And boy, does our world, does our church, does our town need more people who are simply grateful. God, give us what we need to live, and we will be grateful. Give us this day our daily bread. This day our daily bread. With that, this day, daily bread. Notice what we're asking for is simply what is sufficient. Just enough for living today. Jesus teaches us daily to reach out to this God who daily chooses to reach out to us. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer that originated many, many, many years before this, back in the desert when the people of Israel were wandering between Egypt and the Promised Land. If you remember the story, they had nothing to eat, and they weren't grateful. They grumbled about it. They were ready to go back to slavery if that just meant they could get a good meal. But one morning, these hungry people in the desert, they walk out from their tents and they look out, and there they see this flaky bread substance that has come down from heaven and it's covering the ground. They call the bread manna. And God told them that day, he said, take just enough of this for your household for this day. Initially, they didn't much care for those instructions. These people had just experienced real hunger, and they were not about to put themselves in that position again. So they gathered manna, not just enough for the day, but enough to get them through a week or more. They thought they had it all figured out. Excess was a good thing. At least it was safe. Only to wake up the next morning and find all this hoarding was for nothing. The manna had spoiled overnight. They walked back outside the next day, and lo and behold, there it was again. And the next day, again and again. Every day for 40 years, this bread from heaven just kept coming. God just kept meeting his people in their place of real need. And every day for 40 years, the people, they just kept stepping out of their tents to just see if it had happened again. They just kept entering day after day this world with open hands and empty baskets, desperate to see what their God had done for them again that day. In the desert, God's people knew that they needed him every single day. And in their humble, desperate seeking, they found him every single day. When I was a missionary in Egypt, it didn't take me long to realize that I was desperate in that place. Not for bread, I was very well fed, but I was desperate for my Muslim friends to know the love of Jesus. And I was living in a place in the world where sharing the good news with anybody is absolutely forbidden. Even whenever I would go and sit with a friend and even try to tell her about Jesus, it was almost as if you could see the veil over her eyes. You could almost see that the words of truth you were speaking never even had a chance of making it to the heart. And I knew early on in this place that there was simply no formula, there was no mission strategy out there that had the power behind it to do a thing to bring salvation to these hearts that the enemy had had a hold on for so long. I knew that I literally couldn't do a thing in that place. And so every morning, before I dared leave my home, I found that I would sit with God for hours. And in that place, I prayed to him, and I shared my desperation for these people to know him. And in those hours with him, I would listen, and I would ask God to show me what he was going to be up to that day and how I could join him in it. In those hours, I would immerse myself in Scripture. I would sit there and I would read and I would read until I was certain that I had heard God's voice before I went anywhere that morning. There was something deep in my heart that assured me that I was not to even try to encounter that world out there on my own, but that I needed every little bit of God I could get by my side to even attempt to live faithfully in that place. I needed his presence every single day. if I had any chance there at all. And I found that every single day, God met me in my seeking. And too often, I find myself now in the middle of a week right here, and I find there's something in my heart that's homesick for Egypt. Because it's too easy. It's too easy for me here to simply go through life and do what I do and how I want to do it. And just kind of check in with God ever so often when it feels convenient. And I have to wonder, what is it? What is it about this place? What is it about these lives that we lead that make us so easily think that we've got this? That we've got a handle on life. That we're doing just fine with the little bits of God we get here and there. I have to wonder, what will it take? What will it take to make us desperate? What will it take to give us a longing for something so much bigger than ourselves? What will it take to give us a passion stirring inside of us that we absolutely don't have the solution for, but that we've absolutely just got to be a part of? What will it take in this rat race kind of lives that we live to wake up enough to see that every day we are a people living in contested territory? That the enemy among us is actively fighting for souls that Jesus Christ has already died for? And what will it take for us to realize that the Holy Spirit filling us with his help, that we can actually watch that enemy loosen his grip on this place, and we can actually see people set free? What will it take for that to be what our hearts pound for? What will it take for Sundays not to be the only time in the week we give God an hour, but for that just to be the time that we actually do it together? What keeps us from getting up each morning and immediately opening the flap on our tents very first thing and looking out to see if God showed up again? What keeps us from opening our hearts in prayer, from opening our ears to his word to see if he's got something to help us live again this day, just this day? What will it take, I wonder, to need God that much? What will it take to seek him that desperately this day and every day after? What will it take? Oh God, whatever it will take, help us. Help us cling to you this day and each day. Finally then, notice there's one little word that we haven't given much attention to. It's the word our. It's our daily bread. Our. You see, in this kingdom prayer that Jesus gives us, even my bread is not my own. If we're honest, as Americans sitting in this place this morning, when we come together and pray for our daily bread, the real confession among many of us might be that we're actually more likely to perish from having too much bread in our lives rather than too little. Rather than barely making it through each day, we are a people who have, and we have in excess. Maybe for us, asking for our daily bread is not just thanking God for what's already in the pantry, but maybe it's actually asking God to help us know when enough is enough. Because you see, our culture and our egos are surely not going to tell us that. When is enough enough? My grandmother died at 94, and I can tell you she died without a penny in the bank. But she died a rich woman. And she didn't die for lack of bread. And at her funeral, all of her grandchildren gathered together. I've told you this before, and we shared stories of the quality time that she shared with us, and all of us were absolutely certain that we were her very favorite grandchild. Her home, it was full of decorations, and they were not from some designer, but they were all these little knickknacks that friends had made her throughout the years, and she cherished each one of them because she valued people. My mom would tell me of when she was a child, and my grandma would pack up an entire home-cooked meal that she had just made for her family of five kids and send it off to the person at the door asking for food. And she would give all of her kids peanut butter sandwiches instead. She spent her entire life of 94 years loving others. And she never had more money in her purse than what she needed for that week's groceries. She didn't even know what a 401k was. But you know what? She never worried about not having enough. Because her life was full and it was lived with open hands and with this heart that saw bread as our bread. She always had enough. I have another relative who will one day die a multimillionaire, but it's not enough. He fears that people only want him for his money, afraid to share too much now in case the market turns and his retirement takes a hit. He's isolated himself so he won't lose what he's got because somewhere on the inside he's afraid it's not enough. He's got to keep his bread. Because it's his bread. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer that says, oh God, give us the grace to see how much is enough so we can let go of the rest. So all may be fed. So all might get to know that there's enough. Even the wealthy among us. Our bread. We claim in these two seemingly harmless words that I'm willing to live in the world in a way that says nothing is mine alone. Especially those things I have in excess of what I need for today. My needy brothers and sisters, they should get to have dibs on those. Wow. Why have a freezer full of frozen rolls that will still be good next Thanksgiving, no doubt, when there are folks hungry for a sandwich today? God, help us see what's enough. Not by advertiser standards, not by our neighbor's standards, but by your standards. And help us let go of all the rest. Help us start passing it out to a world starving for bread, for the kind of bread that feeds our bodies and for the kind of bread that feeds our souls. The word Christian means little Christ. And as little Christ walking this earth, we should be the furthest thing from hoarders in this world. I wonder when he died on the cross how much of his stuff they had to auction off besides the cloak he was wearing in that moment. Christian people, truth is, should have the barest cupboards and the emptiest closets of them all. Because we've got a Father who cares for us this day. And we have a calling to a world in real need this day. Because it's our bread. As awkward as this is to say, because I hear what people say about how the church only wants your money, it's not true. But here's what is true. Christianity really is kind of about your money. It's true. And it really does actually demand a lot. And it really does ask us to take on a responsibility that no one else in the world would say is ours to take. Christianity actually does ask us to see the hungry and to let go of our excess today and to share with them today and believe that God will give us our daily bread again tomorrow. It is a radical way to live in a world that says, build up your 401k, every man for himself. Give a few canned goods to the food bank and make sure it's the lima beans that you don't want anyway, and call it good for the year. Check in with God on Sundays. He'll be happy enough with that. Simply refer the needy to social services, all while watching your own loaves of bread grow mold and go bad. It's our bread just for this day. Our bread for this day. Jesus tells us to pray like we believe that. So even the middle of the prayer, it turns out, is just as dangerous as the beginning. If you really knew God, this is a real question, if you really knew God was going to show up and take care of all of your needs tomorrow, how would you live differently today? If you really knew God was going to show up and take care of all your needs tomorrow, how would you live differently today? If you really believed everything you call yours is quite possibly ours. Everything you've got. The potential answer to a brother or sister's prayer, oh God, give me today my daily bread. What might you let go of? If it's ours, what might you let go of? Yeah, if we mean it, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, it just might change everything about how we approach our God, our things, our neighbors, and this day. We may not want to take those crash helmets off after all, because this part of the prayer just might be the part that finally calls for more than most of us are actually willing to give. But I'm willing to bet that there's at least some in here that it's not more. That it's not more than you're willing to give. It's a very dangerous prayer indeed. Pray it with caution. Would you pray with me? Father God, for the gifts you've given us this day, thank you that we woke up to breath in our lungs from you once again. Thank you that we're in this place and not a one of us is starving this morning. Thank you that we're in this place and we have people that we can call friends. Thank you. You have already given us this day what we need to live. And now help us make that next step, that radical step, in seeing what we've got and realizing it's not ours to keep. That there are others all around us who are longing for their next breath, longing for their next meal, longing for one true friend. Help us share what we've got so all may be fed. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.